Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by Content Snare. Content Snare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. Content Snare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at contentsnare.com. G'day and welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. Today we've got Brad Morrison on the line from GoWP. And if you don't know who Brad is or who GoWP is, they're basically the go-to in website maintenance, at least from what I'm hearing from very smart people. So who better to come on and talk about maintenance plans? Brad, before I go and destroy your introduction, let's hear a little bit about you, how you got started, and GoWP. Because
awesome.
From what I understand, you guys are like white label maintenance, so we don't have to do it, which that would be awesome for me. So let's get into it.
That's what we do. Thanks, James. Really appreciate you having me on. We are a really the first, and I would say, one of the leading white label WordPress maintenance and support providers available within the WordPress world. We've been doing this since 2014, and we do kind of make a distinction between the two parts of our service. One, we do maintenance, which to us is plugin updates or core and plugin updates, WordPress backups, security scans, malware cleanup if the site's compromised. And then WordPress support, which that's a hands-on manual task. So we can add content, we can do troubleshooting, CSS tweaks, really anything that can be done on a WordPress site, as long as each task takes us about half an hour or less. And so that's what we do, and we primarily work with other web agencies and web professionals. So a lot of freelancers, marketing professionals that it's tangentially related to what they do. They want to be able to offer this, but they don't want to do the actual fulfillment of the work. They want to have an expert to kind of outsource this to. That's most of our business. We work directly with their end clients.
Nice. And I guess just in case, if you're listening to this and you're not sure what white labeling means, it's basically someone else does the work and it looks like you're doing it. Have I got that right?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's essentially outsourcing it, but we're working with the client under their brand. So every element of what we do can be branded as the agency. So cool. It's really cool. Even the dashboard plugin that we've been improving a lot. You can be the agency can be the plugin author. They can put their branding, logo, name it, whatever they want to name it, change the nav menu item. We make it really easy to customize that. And then especially with all communication we have, all email goes through the agency's email.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, is how you handle that. I assume they have to set up some kind of email address for you guys that comes into your support desk or something. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, we've got a form where we basically take their email credentials and then we set up a mailbox on our side. So support@theirdomain.com or web updates, or you know, we've seen a lot of creative email addresses, but that they want to put out to their clients, and then that's how we connect. So we set up a mailbox on our side.
Yeah, awesome. That seems to be like a thing these days, is coming up with like obscure email addresses. Like we always used help. We had to use something different to support because of a previous business using that one. But like some of the email addresses I see signing up for Content Snare, you've got the classic like hello or hi at, just to be different and Australian and idiots, we used oi at.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But that is totally off topic. And today, at least we may have to split this up into a couple episodes, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of stuff here for people to process.
We'd like to start with actually building maintenance plans, like what to put in them, you know. And I guess somewhat delivery. How to create maintenance plans. And if we have time, we'll talk about selling them. Otherwise, that'll be the next episode.
Cool. Yeah. So with maintenance plans, and there's so much that, almost too much that you can put in. And by the way, these are called different things, right? You have web maintenance plans, you have support plans, support contracts, care plans is another very popular term. And that I like website care plans as well, because it kind of encompasses more and it's client focused. Maintenance can kind of be seen somewhat as a commodity in some ways. So if you're positioning this, you're creating your own web care plan is a good way to go. The downside of that is a lot of end users, business or site owners, they don't know what that is. And that can work to your advantage, because you can put it and say, hey, this is what a care plan means to us. And you can also put marketing services in that as well. The agencies that we work with, some of them will take our core set of services and just package that directly. So again, like the plugin updates, backups, security scans, and malware cleanup. And then whatever type of support. Support is a little trickier sometimes. Agencies can be uncomfortable with the unlimited model of support on a subscription basis. Yeah. And I get it, right? We have, you know, we've seen some customers, we've had customers that have submitted 200 plus tasks in a month. So we've seen the extreme end of that. And then we've also seen the customers that you hear from every couple of months. So it tends to even out, but it is a, you have to find what works for you. Sometimes that monthly subscription may only need to include, you know, 1 hour of updates. It may only need to be like, you know, or you could sell time blocks in addition to the maintenance plans that you do. Yeah. So there are a number of ways to package this, but just thinking through that, I think, is the first step. How are you going to package this, and how are you going to deliver this?
I almost think it could be worth people checking out Dan Norris's book, The 7-Day Startup, which kind of made this unlimited model explode with his development of WP Curve. And I mean, the unlimited model does scare people, but I think there's plenty of ways to sort of naturally limit it, or, you know, whether it's like one task at a time with a 2-day turnaround or something. And he talks about that a bit in his book. I'm pretty sure he does anyway. I know I learned it all from Dan Norris, and I assume it was in that book. I'll link it up in the resources anyway.
Yeah, a lot of us did. They were the model for this. They were really the first to do this. They were doing it, I believe, a year at least before we were in 2014, maybe even 2 years. And so there are a lot of us that do what we do in this industry and look to them as inspiration. There are people like Ryan Sullivan at WP Site Care who had a similar model, heavy on the maintenance side, and not as much as the unlimited support, but still had the ability to provide that. And they've been doing it a long time. So we learn, people learn from us. That's the way it goes. But it is what we hear from customers. And I think if you're approaching it as you want to kind of reduce the friction, you want to make it so that it's not a complicated process for them to request something on their site.
Absolutely.
And when you have the unlimited model, there's no need to, you know, have, oh, well, let me quote that out, and there's a delay on that, and then get back, and you think about it, and there's a delay on that. And then, so for quick hit tasks, we find that the unlimited model is just, it works really well. I think the trick is knowing, if you're doing this on your own, you need to know what's within scope very quickly. You got to be able to, like, every task that comes in, you've got to be able to look at that and say, does this skew more towards an hour or 2 hours? Is it a mini project or a full blown project? Or is it something based on our experience that we can get done in 15 to 35, 45 minutes?
So this is a big question I have here, because we were doing this model, and that was well and good when I was manning the tasks that came in. But then when I put a support agent in, it was very hard for her to understand, because I guess she wasn't across it so much. So how do you go about training up people that are manning your support desk to know that kind of info?
So, yeah, that's a great question. And other than one employee that we have, we didn't. They already had the WordPress skills coming in. Daniel, who actually runs our support department now, He was 18 years old, right out of high school when he started. He had never logged into WordPress. And so that's what 4.5 years of being under Lucas, our lead developer, his lead, and just training him up over time. And he's seen so much. I think you almost have to have the experience. I think it's very difficult to have someone that has not done that before to quickly be able to take that on.
We ended up basically letting her liaise with our lead developer for exactly that reason.
Yeah. And I think that's what you have to do. And that's probably what, you know, again, the early days with Daniel working on a support task. I think we like to triage tickets as they come in. That's another way you can approach this. When tickets come in, right, or support requests, have someone who is experienced do the triage, but not necessarily fulfill each of the tasks. So if you're bringing in a junior member, the tasks come in, review everything, and then they can provide some guidance and assign it to a junior tech support to be able to do. And that's how they get that experience. And that's really what we did for at least a couple of years. Our lead developer would touch every single ticket that came in, provide some notes, and use everything as a training opportunity. And then 2 years later, you've got that expertise built up across the team.
That's awesome. And I know people are going to be wondering right now, because everybody loves tools, including me, and this is one of my favorite topics. So what tools do you use for the support tickets coming in and that triage and the assigning of tasks?
Yeah, so we use Help Scout. I love Help Scout. There are some other great tools as well. I mean, we have clients that use Zendesk, Teamwork Desk, a number of different Apple, Fresh Desk.
Many. There's Groove.
Yep, there's Groove. I was going to say Groove. We have customers that use Groove, and it works well. So it really doesn't matter. I think mapping out the process is more important than the tool that you're using. We like Help Scout because it's email-based. There are some things that I wish that can be improved in Help Scout. For example, out of the box, there's no ticket dashboard. So a customer can't log in and just look at all of their open tickets. You have to build that through the API. And so they are strictly email based, and they're very proud of that. And so they don't have that portal to log into. Some other systems like Teamwork Desk, they have that built in. So I think mapping the process out is more important than that. And then we use tags and workflows extensively. And that's another thing that's important, is just mapping those processes out. If this happens, where does that ticket go? What's the follow-up? And
so is that getting into your project management system somehow? Or
we do not have a project management system.
Oh.
We absolutely, by choice, do not have a project management
system. There you go. So you just operate straight out of Help Scout.
Straight out of the queue. And that's, it greatly simplifies things. Because we only do the small task. We do have a medium 1 hour task and a large 2 hour task. If people opt to do that, we'll give someone a quote and say, hey, we don't do anything that takes more than 2 hours. So we refer that out to one of our web professional partners, our customers, and let them handle that, because they're better suited for that. We don't, anything that's time sensitive in that way, or, you know, has a deadline or is project based or driven, that's not the world we live in. We live in ours is more of a typical help desk, where the tickets come in and we work from the oldest to the most recent and prioritize site down and, you know, some other, you know, this isn't my WooCommerce store's broken. And that's where the triage comes, becomes really important, is you can quickly go through and prioritize tickets. So if there's something that is urgent, based on our assessment, then we can address that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think a big reason I've always liked Teamwork Desk, because I love Help Scout more as a product, but the reason I used Teamwork Desk is because it was very easy for the triage person or the support person to create a task in Teamwork Projects, which was my project management of choice. Yep. And then when it was completed, it would bounce back. But that's because we had a lot of other projects and other stuff going on. So to be able to put it all into Help Scout would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And what we try, there's so much like client education you need to do on that. And we do have kind of that set up. So that's another, I would encourage anyone that's going to go with this model and truly separate support from project build out, which I think is important to do because there's a different value in those, that type of work. So you don't need to be interrupted by project-based work with the quick, hey, this is broken, can you please fix this quick? You need to have separate processes and a way to handle that. But I think it's important to, sorry, hang on.
You're right. To have that separation, I'm interested in hearing more about that because I was just trying to like the reason we did it was because we wanted our developers to have one place to see everything rather than have to go between systems. But I'm interested to hear how you guys do this.
Yeah, so we don't work on any site unless the site is live, right? And so if the site is live, then it's a separate workflow. And that, what I was going to say is when the client education piece of this, when a task comes in, it doesn't need to be related to other tasks. It needs to be an individual, self-contained task that a developer can, or a support agent can work on from beginning to end in that small time, that 30-minute time slot. And so we try to educate and say, hey, we don't like list of items that come into the help desk system. If we get that as a courtesy, we'll usually break it out into 10 individual tasks. If it's something that can't be broken out into individual unrelated tasks, then we would put that back to the client and we would say, hey, this really needs to be completed as a project. This is a 3-hour project instead of 10 individual self-contained tasks. And so it just works out better for the client when you set that expectation that this is how things need to come. And because of that, if you've got the people that can competently take care of it and you've got the processes in place, you can turn that around very, very quickly. And it makes the client really happy because someone's addressing that instead of someone delaying what would be a 3-hour, 4-hour project. So,
yeah, nice. So, man, I've just like got so many ideas here. And what I really like too is something we mentioned before, and I didn't really dig into it, or something you mentioned, sorry, around some of your clients including this as part of a bigger plan, like including marketing and that kind of stuff. And I think that idea is awesome because then it enables you to have like a really high priced sort of plan that includes other stuff and then not handle this technical stuff at all, which is, given your pricing is so reasonable you know, it'd be very easy to include that in plans.
Yeah. And we have, you know, a customer may, you know, and that's when you're thinking about pricing and what to include, you know, that we have customers at the $99 price point that's what they charge their site, their customers or their clients. And then some charge in the thousands of dollars a month. And it depends on what you wrap into that. A good model to go, whether, again, we're not the only solution that does this, and you don't have to use an outsourced provider. There are tools available to help you do this. So as you're thinking about, if you're a web professional thinking about how do I kind of plan this out, I would think about what you're good at and what you like doing. If it's being client facing and talking to the client and having a, you know, 1 or 2 hours worth of calls in a month, and that's part of your plan, so that you know, maybe the first week of the month you have a strategy call. Where you sit and you talk and you talk about content marketing and you talk about let's review Google Analytics and conversions and, you know, how are we doing as a business? This, again, is where the website care kind of comes into it. It's more than maintenance and support. And so you plan this out. And then if you're reviewing Google Analytics or your review of there, if you need to change things with SEO or content marketing and you are a web marketer and that's what you want to take on, you do that yourself. If you've got an outsourced provider that you send that, you break that off here. If you've got web deep level technical issues that you don't want to handle yourself, then you could go send that to a partner like us or to another freelance developer that you're using. But it just, you know, we have customers that have, you know, like I said, the $2,000 a month, and they're giving them X number of hours or time, whether it's personal or marketing. You know, it's not just using the quick tools. It's true deep strategy that they are uniquely positioned to provide because of their expertise and relationship with the client.
Yeah, definitely. So let's then talk about what should and could, you know, go into these kind of plans. So starting with, I guess, what you guys include, and then like maybe we could talk about some value adds, because I've got some ideas from what we used to do, and then other services you can roll into these plans. Because this question comes up a lot, like what do we include in plans? And I know people go and snoop on other people's websites to see what's included. So what do you guys include?
So for us, again, we do daily plugin updates. Some people do weekly or monthly, WordPress, you know, you have WordPress core, and then you have plugins for functionality, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have WordPress themes. So all of that is software built by third parties that needs to be updated on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So you need a plan for addressing WordPress updates, whether you're using Managed WP, which is a fantastic tool, or Infinite WP, or any of the other great tools that are out there that allow you to do that in bulk. That's the difference, is being able to do that across not just a couple of sites, because you can log in and do that. And that's an option. If you only have five or six websites and you want to truly deliver like a white glove support, level of support, you could log into those sites once a week and provide the plugin updates. But the plugin updates, regardless of how you do it, that needs to be included in a WordPress maintenance plan.
For sure.
And that goes along with security, keeping your theme and your plugins updated. That's an area that can be exploited if that software is outdated. So along with that, I think having something like security or Malcare or some of the providers that provide that WordFence, SiteLock. There are a number of different security providers that you can provide daily or at least some level of frequency. I wouldn't do monthly, but I would do daily or weekly scans and then have a way to clean that up if it comes back with a positive scan. Staying on top of those two things, and then along with backups, that's proactive. The tough thing about this is you need to communicate that with your clients, and you need to do it regularly, because clients, business owners, don't always see the value in that. Mm-hmm. They know they have to pay an ongoing monthly hosting cost, right? You've got to host the website somewhere. They've had websites for years and years. They know they pay a hosting fee. In many cases, they're coming from a web developer who did not have a maintenance and support plan. And so this is going to be a kind of a new sell to them. It's only been a handful of years that people have really been packaging this for WordPress as a monthly maintenance or care plan option when they quote the project. And so, you know, we do have, and I hear that from our clients, what resources can you give us to help sell this, because we're getting pushback on this, or they don't understand the value. So it's important to try to communicate that value. And one good way to do that are reports. So like Managed WP's reporting engine just got a new kind of an overhaul, and it's slick. It's a good way to set that up weekly or monthly and send that to a client so that they see what plugins are being updated. They see what you're doing for them each month. So I think all of that needs to be included in a care plan. It's, you know, software updates, backups, security scans, and reporting. Mm. So at a minimum, that's what's included, and then figure out a plan for how you're going to handle the support tasks that come in.
Yeah, nice. So with security, you mentioned being those regular scans and then being on top of them. So how do you guys get directly notified from that security, and how do you get notified?
Yeah. So again, everything, we have a separate maintenance mailbox that everything comes into.
Exactly what we did.
Yeah. So, and we, the way we have it set up, and we have a maintenance team. So I've got a team that just focuses on maintenance. Sometimes they're doing support tasks, but we have a maintenance team that is what they're really looking out for. Two primary things. One, When we update plugins, we actually have a visual comparison. I don't know that we've talked about that, but so
I saw it on your site actually, and I was checking it out. I was like, "This is awesome! Yeah. It's a really good thing to do because normally a person has to do that."
That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's how we were doing it before. We were using one of the other tools to just kind of bulk update things, but then we had a manual plan where once a week, if someone wanted us to have that white glove approach, we would log into the site, we would update things manually, and then we would let's check out the WooCommerce shopping cart. Let's check out the, you know, what if it's a event, the events calendar or something like that. Let's check out the events art listing and then check out the detail of each and just to make sure everything looks good, right? Mm. So we would check key areas of a site and we still offer that. But I'm really, one of the things I'm most proud of this last year was not just doing what everybody else does with this, right? Was actually being innovative, which I think that's important even as a service provider. And that's another challenge for any web professional. Find unique ways to deliver something and do it better than what most people might be doing. And so we invested in that. And I love the visual validator tool that we're using now. So we basically take screenshots before. It's automated daily, right? Mm. So we run it from 7 in the morning until I believe it's 2 in the afternoon. That's when it runs. So when the maintenance team is there and able to take, they get notified. If we do, we'll do screenshots of up to 20 pages of the site. It applies the plugin updates. Screenshots of the same pages, do a visual comparison to see if anything is off. If anything is off, we are notified. It goes immediately into the maintenance mailbox so that our support team can say, you know, hey, the visual test failed on this site. Look in and see what's going on. Sometimes it's a false positive. Sometimes it's a very minor thing that we can take care of. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the plugin updates need to be rolled back. So we can kind of dig in and see what's going on. Sometimes it's a server level issue. So we actually had one of those issues today. So where it tried to perform updates, but it couldn't because there was a server problem, but we were able to get on it immediately. The other thing you mentioned about security, if we get a positive scan result, it goes into the maintenance mailbox as well. And our team's able to jump in and see what's going on. And there's an automated version level of cleanup that we can do. And then we can do a manual cleanup depending on what's going on. So,
yeah, that's awesome. You talk about that visual tool. I was just reminded of a thing I used to do when I was pretty heavy on being an AppSumo affiliate. I used to use one of those visual comparison tools to pick up new products before they came out on RSS feeds.
Oh, very cool.
So I could jump on early and be one of the first people promoting it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
But I don't really promote much AppSumo stuff anymore. It's kind of gone downhill, but but yeah, there's like, because a lot of novel uses, I think, for the
absolutely. Comparisons. Yeah. And there are some other things that I think, like when we're looking at innovation for this year, what can we do in the maintenance and support industry? Like, there's like robotic procedures and stuff that's a big thing. I think it's like RPA maybe. But it's where, you know, there are things that you would normally have to have someone log in and perform these tasks, but you actually program a bot to do that. Yeah. And so there are tasks that can be performed and probably some routine WordPress maintenance and support tasks that can be performed. So that's one area that is interesting to me. We're not doing anything with it at this time, but it's interesting. And the second that I am very interested in is, other than visual testing on maintenance, I actually have some functional testing on.
Yeah, this is actually going to be my next question, because you know, you can check out a WooCommerce form looks good, but then actually being able to buy something is like a manual process or something that has to be built, right? So what's that? Yeah, I'm interested to hear more about that.
Yeah, well, I don't. It's something that we're looking into right now. We'd love to build that into the visual validator tool so that it's not just the visual test, but also a functional test. And where this becomes, and there are some things out there. Prospress has, they've got a kind of a tool that will automatically go through and test the checkout in WooCommerce. Nice. There are a couple of other places that are services that offer something like that. No one really bringing it together like at scale, like we would need for what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's worth, you know, it's something that we're actively exploring. And you know, if you think about, like you said, like visually it may look fine, but the gravity form is broken now and I'm not getting any of my leads. Yeah. Or, you know, and that's a big deal. And so we'll probably start with a couple of specific plug-in specific functional tests. Yep. And we may have to do it, you know, across the most widely used plugins, right? And say this core, we're already doing that in some ways. Like on the visual test, we're making an update right now where you can determine which URLs are being scanned, and we're trying to put some logic into that to say, okay, we know this site has WooCommerce and events calendar and, you know, Gravity Forms and whatever it is. So we know we need to check the catalog, the main category page, or the shop page, the category page, product detail page, the checkout, the initial checkout page, you know, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So we're actually including that. And so being like, I guess, plug-in aware and being able to do those functional tests is a big deal. And I think we'll get there. It's something that we're going to be working on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've always wondered that, you know, like being able to test, because at the moment you have to do it manually, and that means you have to have that, you know, inclusion in the plan. You can't have like a $20 plan, you know, like obviously not that low, but you can't have a cheap plan and be having lots of time on site testing functionality every update, right? So to have that automated would be awesome. So a few other things we used to automate using a tool called StatusCake, which I loved. Yes. It was really good for uptime monitoring, SSL expiry monitoring, domain expiry monitoring, because if you have a
buddy... My site's down. You didn't renew your domain.
Yes, because none of us have ever heard that happen.
That's right.
So being able to monitor all that kind of stuff in one tool, and we had the same thing. We had a monitoring address, email address, that came into, as a separate, mailbox in Teamwork Desk, and they would just go through those things. You can even do site speed. But I find that one's a little bit flaky because, sometimes we just have this random spike.
Yeah, and some of the tools also, like if you're familiar with like Blog Vault, which is also Malcare, they're starting to build performance monitoring and uptime monitoring and all of that. And ManageWP has some of that built in. So the cool thing is you can actually get that into the reports as well. You don't need to integrate with a third party. It's all kind of all inclusive. I do think uptime monitoring is important to include in a for your clients. You may not want to send that to the client. They can get that themselves. But sometimes if there's a minute or two blip with the service provider, you may not want to be woken up at 2 a.m. or whatever time if your client is frantic about an intermittent issue with the hosting provider. So that's something to think about, is whether you want that to go to your client, or you want to know about it as an agency when something like that happens. But including uptime monitoring is a natural fit. Something that there are companies that will include a set of plugins. Like when we're talking about performance, they'll include things like WP Rocket, which is a great plugin. For caching and minification and, you know, all the performance like optimization, like it's a very good plugin. Image optimization, maybe they'll include ShortPixel, and they'll include these premium plugins with, as long as someone is subscribing to their care plan or maintenance plan. I would absolutely not do that. That's my opinion. Wow. I would absolutely not do that. I believe that site owners, like when you mentioned about domains expiring, they need the keys to their online castle. And I believe that with license codes and with premium plugins, I understand the argument of they may not understand what this is for. And so we're helping them, and that's some of the expertise that we're providing by them being on a care plan. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the functionality of their site, that supports their living, right? It's important to their business. I think it's our job or an agency owner's job to educate them on why that's important. And it's a business issue and not a technical issue. And plugin licenses and ownership of plugins falls within that, in my opinion. That needs to be that needs to be with the customer, not under an agency license. So I do discourage agencies from purchasing that in bulk and giving that and taking it away if they don't do that. Empower the end client and let them have the keys to the functionality of their website.
Yeah, I can definitely see both sides of that, depending on the client, because some clients just don't want to have to go to multiple places for something. For example, if you've got a pretty high-end package, you know, like a few thousand dollars a month or something, and you're doing SEO or other marketing stuff, strategy calls, whatever, they're probably doing that for a reason, because they don't want to go to multiple people to handle all of this. So in that case, they might not want to get those annual renewal bills that inevitably come through to you to say, do we still need this?
And I get that. I get that. I think in that case, there are ways around that where you could give the link to the client and let them just say, hey, we need this for as we're building out your site or to optimize your site. We need this. Can you purchase that? We'll install it for you, which we do for our customers and our clients of our customers. Make that process easy. I think the issue, you know, is there are so many times where it's almost easy for the agency or the site owner to kind of plead ignorance and say, well, I don't know what this is, but it tells me, you know, so-and-so's not working right now. And I don't, you know, you're kind of challenging them to understand a little bit of how their site works and the investment that's needed in order to help run their business, right? Mm-hmm. Not just their site. And so, I think there are some ways around it, but I do get it. It's always a good discussion around this at meetups that we go to locally on do that, and especially on the build out, not even just the maintenance, but the build out of the site. I would even encourage in the build out process that a plugin is recommended, you install it for them, set it up, but you don't buy it and install it under your license. You're doing that for the.
I just want to make it clear too that I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just sort of throwing out the potential other side to that because we did the thing where we got clients to buy stuff because we didn't want it under our name. A key there is not a key, but just a good thing to do is affiliate programs, right? Like it can be a sweet little extra little income stream. Especially if you're promoting these plugins anyway, you may as well
absolutely
throw your affiliate link to the client.
It's a great way to do it. Yeah. Especially what will happen, you know, in some cases is that there's turnover in the web developer at times. And so if an agency ends up supporting a site that another agency purchased it becomes a very tricky, weird situation mess. Yeah. And then what you're having to do is tell the client, oh, you actually need to buy this now. Whereas, you know, because I don't have a license for it, right, to do this, your other agency did, it provided critical functionality on your site. And they're like, but I paid them to do that. And so it's a weird clean up and have that conversation from the other agency.
And I have seen horror stories where like a developer or something like this has happened where someone has basically taken it and run with that license, and suddenly they've seen like 20 other sites on the dashboard.
for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So, all right. I think as for like normal inclusions, that's pretty well. We've covered most things there. I'd like to talk about value adding, I guess, for the end, like your client. So the agency that are selling to their client, what are some other things that they can include? We've already talked about a bunch here, like strategy calls, whether that's weekly or monthly, to cover things like Google Analytics, conversions, general business stuff. I thought, you know, maybe like SEO. I know a lot of people include SEO in these plans, or regular content like blog posts and stuff. What else have you seen people do?
Anything related to inbound marketing. So if you have, you know, whether it's even managing, and I wouldn't even say inbound marketing, I mean, managing paid ads, any way to get traffic to the site. So social media management, paid ads, SEO, organic, any of that can fit well within a monthly retainer model or a monthly subscription model. That is, you always need to think about how it's going to be used, though. I have seen some of these plans be too generous, and then you sit back and you're like, yes, I'm making recurring revenue, which is huge, but if you really look at how much they're spending, like how much they're making per hour because of the amount of effort that they're having to do, especially when you get into content and SEO. So the keyword research, and then writing the article, optimizing the article, distributing the article, you know, whatever it is, like that can, you can end up, so make sure that you account for all of that time. But yeah, anything related to really, I mean, marketing in general, but paid ads, organic, social media management, content writing, conversion optimization. Yeah. That's another one. I would even put page speed and site speed or performance optimization in that, because that is best performed as a project. That's not a quick hit task. Some things can be. You can install a caching plugin, image optimization, a plugin to do some, you know, like the minification or other aspects of
that can be a pretty huge undertaking. Like, it's depending on the site.
You have to play detective, and you've got to spend a lot of time digging in and figuring out how. I mean, sometimes it can be easy. I've said it's not a one size fits all. You have to really figure out what's going on with the site. And
that's something else you can outsource too, though, right? Like, I know there are companies that outsource performance. So, I mean, there's like a whole discussion in this being like a business model where you kind of are playing project manager. Like, you could have maintenance plans where all you're doing are the strategy calls.
Yes.
You know, and someone else is handling the website maintenance. Someone's handling the performance. You're outsourcing to an SEO person.
Yes.
Getting someone to write content, you know, PPC, all the things. Someone else is doing it.
Yeah. I know for a fact, we have customers that they are client facing. They work with the client, but they use Codable for all their project work, and they use us for all their maintenance and support. That's it.
Nice.
They've got developers that do that, and then they meet with the client and talk about, hey, you know, this is what they work with them through the build out, the site's launched. They have a reseller plan through, you can do white label through like a flywheel, or, you know, you could do a WP Engine bulk plan. You can do, you know, whatever. So they've got their account there. So that process is easy. Once the site's live, they use an outsourced provider like us to do the support. And yeah, it's a phone call once a month, and a list of to-dos that they then outsource to someone else.
Yeah, that's awesome. And great business model. Because, I mean, working with contractors is nice too, and white label providers. Because then, you know, if you've got full-time staff, like we do, you know, we've always got to try and make sure they're kept busy and other things coming through. So that can get difficult.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, I'm seeing more and more white label services. I mean, I think productized services in general for agencies, I mean, we've all been there. You know, we ran a web agency before we did this, and I know what it's like to say, where's my next project going to come from? And, you know, it's that up and down roller coaster. So I think a lot of agencies now are trying to look for other ways to productize their services. And you can do that with so much. We chose to do it with maintenance and support. But you can, I mean, you've seen design, you can do it with anything. You can do it with project management. And so, and there are more and more services that kind of cater to that on a white label basis that you can mark up and resell to your clients.
Absolutely. I think we could potentially wrap this up here. How much do you think you have to talk about selling maintenance plans? Like, could we wrap this up so we can make this entire other talk? Yeah, I was going to say there's quite a bit in it. Hey, and this is already sort of getting to half an hour. Well, actually, nope, it's at like 40 minutes. So
definitely what we've already got to. So
yeah, I don't want to sort of go on for too long. So where can people go to find out a bit more about you guys, you know, see your plans, maybe sign up or follow you on social?
So definitely our website, gowp.com. So we've got a nice 4-letter domain.
That is so cool.
It's rare nowadays. It's been about 5 years since we purchased that. And that's been really cool. Now, some people are, you know, what is GoWP, right? Unless you're in the WordPress world, sometimes you don't know, but for, yeah, in the WordPress community, it's great. So GoWP.com is definitely the place. We've got a page on each of the services that we offer. We've got a great pricing page that walks you through what the monthly plans include. And then if you wanted one-off tasks, we actually have one-off task bundles that you can purchase as well. On Twitter, we're GoWP support. And then we have a Facebook page as well. And so we're active on both of those. But the website's definitely the place to go. So,
awesome. All right. So head over and check those out.
Well, Brad, thank you for joining me. Yeah, this has been awesome. I got so many notes from this. So I can't wait to type them up and for this episode to go live. Man, thank you. Thank you so much. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review to stroke my ego as usual. And yeah, if you're in the business of creating maintenance plans or all kinds of value adds and you want to sell these to clients better, tune in next week for episode 2, where me and Brad are going to be talking about selling maintenance plans. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.